God doesn't use big words. I'll explain on this edition of Key Light.
Hey, if you're into Stuffy, turn off the radio now because this is Key Light, designed to be honest, straightforward, and street smart. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thank you, Mike. If you have your Bible, open, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy. You say, I don't want to open it to the book of Deuteronomy. I mean, my wife is threatening to leave. I'm about to lose my job. I can't make the mortgage payment, and you're going to teach the book of Deuteronomy. Listen, stay with me. We miss so much when we don't dip into the Older Testament and check out what it has to say for God's people. Now, if you were listening yesterday, I took some time to introduce the book of Deuteronomy, and we looked at some key verses. In fact, I read, and I think you ought to read that for your devotions every day this week, Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 22. I mean, there is such graciousness and love, and it's awesome when you read it. And that's key. But actually, the 12th and 13th verses of the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy, those are the key verses for this entire book. Once you've got these verses, everything else is commentary. Let me give you those verses again. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with your heart, with all your soul, and keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I command you this day, for your good. That means that God isn't in the business of keeping you from having a good time. When he tells you to do something, you remember when your mother said, I'm saying this for your own good, and you knew it wasn't. You knew in your heart of hearts it wasn't. When God says this is for your good, you'll be better for it. He really means it because he loves you a lot. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is a covenantal book. What does that mean? That means that God has a deal for you. That God says, I have a covenant for you, and I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. That makes you special and different and an awesome people on the face of the earth. And the interesting thing about the covenant terms expressed in this book, and covenant means a contract or a deal, if you're going to use it in a colloquial way, is that the terms expressed in this book is that the requirements of the covenant are given to the people in non-technical language, language which would be understood by the people of God. You know, I love to, when I'm teaching the Bible, to say that in the Hebrew and then say exactly what it says in the English. You know, we think that if we just knew Hebrew and Greek, then we would understand the Bible a whole lot better. Well, maybe a little bit, but not much. The truth is, God is not in the business of hiding himself or his words from his people. As somebody has said about the book of John, I would say about the entire Bible, it is a little pool where children can swim, and it is a gigantic lake where elephants can do exactly the same thing. God speaks in language that we understand. His words are not technical words. Paul Tillich, when I was in seminary, used to talk about God being the ground of all being. And then Bultmann came along, and he used to talk about God as being the demythologized metaphysical carrier of truth. And then Thomas Altizer, who was the guy at Emory who talked about God being dead, talked about the religionless God and the first cause of our being. Somebody said that the three of them were praying, and they said, O ground of all being, demythologized metaphysical carrier of truth, the one without religion, the first cause of our being. And God said, what? See, God is in the business of communication, and that's a wonderful thing. Listen to this. Listen to Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. This is simple, and it's real. It has a gentle and winsome quality about it. For this commandment which I command you this day is not too hard for you, neither is it far off from you. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. Now, what I want to do for the rest of this week is to look at some of the major themes within the context of this book. I will perhaps next week go through Deuteronomy, pick out some of my favorite passages and share them with you. But I want you to see these four major themes that you'll find in this book. First, I want you to note a God who is deeply involved with his people, who guides them, who directs them, who gives them wisdom. Look at Deuteronomy 4:1. And now, O Israel, give heed to the statutes and the ordinances which I teach you, and do them, that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, gives to you. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, if you're a Christian, you probably have a strong concern about whether or not you are in God's will. Do you sometimes get tired of the people who seem to have God in their back pocket? I mean, I saw an evangelist on television one time who was going through a healing line. He had his hand on somebody's head. And you have to kind of picture this. Those of you in our television audience won't need to do this. But if you're listening on radio, he put his hand on this person's head and he looked up in the sky and kept nodding. Like, yes, Lord, yes, yes. And I wanted to say, man, I wouldn't do that in a thunderstorm. I mean, you could be in some kind of serious trouble if you keep doing stuff like this. God is not in anybody's back pocket. But I want you to know that God does have a plan. And he has a plan for you. My friend Fred Smith loves to shock groups when he's talking to them. Fred will say, often open up when he's talking, he'll say, first thing I want to say is God does love you, but he doesn't have a plan for your life. And then after everybody goes, what? In the talk, he says, God doesn't have a plan for your life. He has a plan for his own life. And in his graciousness and his kindness and his love, he's allowed you to have a part of it. Now, the point of this, God isn't in the business of keeping his will from you. And the biblical way of knowing God's will is knowing the biblical way of knowing God's will. In other words, now, I'm not suggesting that God doesn't speak anymore, that he doesn't lead and he doesn't guide. I'll tell you, though, sometimes we have to be careful about presumption. Back when I was telling you about the evangelist that kept saying, to God, I was reminded while I was teaching those three times recently when I was sure that God told me to do something and then told me later that wasn't me, you weren't listening. I believe God does lead, but we have to be very careful. I think God leads by circumstances. It's obvious I'm not supposed to be a soloist in our choir. I'm supposed to be a support bass. If you've ever heard me try to sing a solo, then you know it sounds like a foghorn trying to make it but doesn't quite get there. So I know that it's not God's will for me to be a soloist in our choir. I'm supposed to work really hard, learn the bass part, and do all I can do when I can reach the notes. I know that's God's will because of circumstances. Now, God sometimes also leads through brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me tell you something. If this broadcast or any other broadcast is your church, may God have mercy on you. I mean, if you're not in any kind of relationship with other Christians who love you and who will tell you the truth, I have a friend who's in ministry, and if you do the kind of thing that I do, if you're not careful, people will start telling you you're right when you're wrong. They'll start saying, go for it, when you ought not go for it. They'll start thinking that you have a special hotline to God. And I made it a practice in this ministry to have people around me who are free to say, Brian, you're a fruitcake. That's not from God. That's from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. But I have a friend who's doing some really dumb things because nobody will tell him he's doing some really dumb things. You've got to be in a relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ who will love you enough to tell you the truth, and God has so fixed it. And this is one of the points that Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 12:13-14, and Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 about the gifts, is that we're incomplete without one another. And so God leads his people through his people. We are in relationships. There is a collegiality of God's will that takes place when we work together as Christians. But with all, and sometimes God just leads directly. We were on Cape Cod a few weeks ago where we began our ministry, and I love Cape Cod. We just love going there. We still have friends. A lot of the friends that we had then are now home with the Lord, and there's always a sense of sadness. But we were going by a house the other day on Cape Cod, and I remembered the woman in the house when I was a young pastor and didn't know God very well, and I couldn't get by her house. I mean, I absolutely had to turn around at the top of the street and go back. And I knocked on her door and didn't know why I was there. And she brought up the subject of death, and we talked about it. And then we prayed, and I left. And the next day, she had a stroke, and she died a week later. And during that week, she couldn't talk. And I went, wow, God does that. God is not quiet. But listen to me, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow. Most of the time, God has simply written it down. The Bible is his gift to you. It's the way he directs and he leads his people. And if you're not studying the word, you're probably not hearing from him. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you haven't gotten the October, November, December magazine, I'd love to send it to you. Absolutely free. I wrote a piece called The Grace of Christmas. Ron Mayo has this wonderful piece, Love Found a Way to Adopt Us. My itinerary's there, question and answer column, a lot of great resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ is your crowning achievement. If you'd like to receive the magazine, just give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with a regular mailing address and ask for the October, November, December magazine. And by the way, it really is free. I don't want you to dare not ask for the magazine because you can't send the contribution. Because a minority of people who are ministered to by this ministry are able to help us financially. Listen, pray about it. If you're to be one of those champions, I would appreciate it more than you know. This is a very expensive ministry. And give us generously if you can, if you're called to do that. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include a contribution in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, it's my thank you. I'll send you the cassette teaching, Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.